C2A. Number 20A.
We discussed yesterday the seventh main tone in the chapter of the tone and the Eucharist, that seventh subtone which depicts love, which says that it is the plan of love really to reform the sinner. One can see that love has a plan how to take the sinner and reform him so that he finds salvation in love. So that's the impact of the Christ idea on human consciousness that is at work. So that we can see fundamentally that it is not so much dependent on us wanting to be saved, but that deeper down there is in being, capital B, in being, there is a purpose, there is a plan, there is a design which says, I want to save everything. I want to come down. My hand is still stretched out. I want to come down to every plane of thought and experience and want to save. That's my inner nature. My being says, that's my inner nature. I want to do that. We can see that this plane of love was operating long before really man came into being, before we had the concept of man. Long before that, there was a great plan of love at work that had its impact on evolution. So that we always can see that it is not only we that want to be saved, but that we have that desire to be saved because there is God, love. And that always gives us a certain comfort, which says, well, there is something in being at work that says, I don't let go until I have brought everyone and everything back to perfection. Under this big tone, Mrs. Eddy presents now this design of love through the subtones of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life. That's how far we came yesterday. And now today we come to truth, which is quite an extraordinary subtone, a long subtone of 8 pages, so that one can see already from the point of view of quantity, here Mrs. Eddy brings out something very important. Namely, what she brings out at the point of truth is that through man's unity with love, we become aware of our oneness with the spiritual idea, man. So here we arrive, so to say, on the sixth day, where we begin to realize that we are always at one with the idea man, not at one with the human sense of man, with the mortal sense of man, with the personal sense of man, but with the idea, the spiritual idea man. We always must keep in mind what the purpose and the goal of Mrs. Eddy's teaching is in regard to man, and that is to bring us out of the material, out of the human, and show us that man is idea, and nothing but idea, and a spiritual idea. How on earth do we come to that terrific point where then everything within us feels that we are just one with the idea man and no more with anything else? Wouldn't that be a heavenly state of consciousness? And as it is a heavenly state of consciousness, Mrs. Eddy starts out that tone, that main tone of love through the subtone of mind and says, therefore, you must first realize that the heavenly mindedness, I just recapitulate quickly what we did yesterday, You must realize that we must have heaven in mind, that heaven is not a state, a locality, somewhere in space or time. It is not up in heaven. It's not that which comes after death. It is a state of mind. And so we can have heaven right here if we begin to see that everything is of the nature of divine mind. Then that is a heavenly state of mind. But in order to have that heavenly state of mind, so that it is filled really with the ideas of mind, she says there, then it is necessary that your whole consciousness is stirred by the Christ Spirit. We come to the point of Spirit and of the martyrs. We have seen that only when everything within us is stirred by the spiritual idea of God, by the spiritual idea of reality, that only then really the idea can unfold. At the point of mind, it is just contemplation, just seeing the idea of heaven. But now in spirit, we substantialize that idea and bring to expression the spirit of the Christ idea. There we had the martyrdom. But there is another point that has to be considered when we talk about heaven and about that salvation, namely soul. In that third subject, the subton of soul, Mrs. Eddy showed that we must see that our spiritual selfhood, which naturally is ideational, that spiritual selfhood is kept safe in our consciousness, that it is kept pure in our consciousness, so that nothing can touch it, that there is no suggestions, no malicious animal magnetism, nothing that can touch our true spiritual selfhood, that neither body nor malicious animal magnetism, nor disease, nor sin, nor death can touch our true selfhood, so that we begin to realize that our true selfhood is not our bodily selfhood, but that we live and move and have our being in the spiritual realm of our true identity, which is unchangeable, untouchable. Nothing can deface our identity. And therefore, naturally, we have to stick to that, and we have to have the consciousness that we protect that against all these suggestions. So the subtones of mind, spirit, soul always first establish, so to say, the identity of something, here the identity of man. And only then, when that identity of man is seen as purely from the point of view of mind and of spirit and of soul, then we have gained the principle on which to operate. And so the fourth subject came in and said, it is in the plan of love to operate as principle by bringing out really all that demonstration of that principle, that you have to demonstrate mind, spirit, soul as your principle, and demonstrate here it as your life principle, meaning that that is not a principle that we just entertain in consciousness, but that we entertain that principle as the operative principle in life experience. And so it becomes the principle of our life experience. And only then, she says, in the fifth tone of love as life, which we had yesterday in the last hour, then she says, then you know that if you rely wholly on that principle and demonstrate that principle, that alone is life. And now in the subtone of life, she was showing, you know, that life is irrepressible. That life cannot be killed. There is no death. Nothing can really destroy that sense of life. That we had that nice tone that nothing can hinder, and sorry, my terminology, that nothing really can defeat that that life principle. So that if we are really basing ourselves on that one principle, that is mind, spirit, soul, that then that principle demonstrates itself as life, and nothing can defeat that demonstration as life. We have seen that neither the dream of death can destroy it. We can believe in death, but that does not touch really life, because life is untouchable by a dream and by a belief in death. So death does not touch life. So, and it was showing that therefore that life has to be understood, and that therefore nothing material can touch life. Then we have seen that no malignity, brutality, malicious animal magnetism can touch life, that Jesus was untouched by the traitor and by the Judas sense of things, and could show that nothing can defeat that life, and gainsay that life if it's built on principle and not on human theories, medicine, theology, hygiene, surgery, etc., that all that cannot touch the real life. And finally, it would show that life cannot be defeated by human methods of healing, like drugs, air, hygiene, and so on, that life cannot be defeated, even not by matter, that even rocks cannot prevent life to express itself, that life is irrepressible, and nothing really can repress life so that it can come forth. And finally it says that not even the grave can defeat life. We have a terrific, powerful sense there that that is the plan of love as life, that it wants to teach us and show us that if we stand on the principle of being, that life principle is operating as an irrepressible power and an undefeatable power. And only at this point we come now to truth, and we have always seen, like in the days of creation, that the first 5 days of creation are only building up the necessary elements which then constitute man. So that man, as a compound idea of God, is then expressing what has been established through the first 5 tones. This is also always interesting to remember, that the moment we try to establish what is true manhood, if we want to see what is our true manhood, what constitutes really the idea man, we always can see that it must be established or built up, so to say, in our consciousness through mind, what mind is, that it is the idea that mind perceives, that it is spirit, that it is that which is purely spiritual and has the substance of spirit and no material substance, that it is the idea of soul, that it is safe, that it is intact, that it cannot be destroyed, that it cannot be defaced, nothing can happen to the identity of an idea, and those ideas are always related to principle, and therefore under the government of principle, and principle governing, demonstrating it, and seeing that this expresses itself as a newness of life. What kind of newness of life does it express? It expresses truth. The whole universe of idea, the compound idea, and that is called man. So at this point we come again, as we have seen over and over in our analysis, At the moment we touch the six, man comes into focus. Here is the last subtone of love as truth. Therefore, the highest sense of man comes into focus, and that is that man is idea, and that we are at one with that idea, man. That's now the great subject. That being one with the idea, man. When we consider that subject, we also said that we should first see how the tone of love, the main tone of love, is expressed through the text. And we have seen that they are always giving different aspects of love, so that the ideas that we know that constitute or characterize love change from one tone to the next tone. And here, in truth, it is very interesting to see the following, what we didn't have before, neither in mind, spirit, soul, and principle, and life, as an accent on love, is always that here the glory of love is expressed. It has a lot to do, glory be to God, that the night of gloom changed into glory, and that Gethsemane was no more a place of doom, but was glorified. And then you have a few dozen references that always bring out that that demonstration is the final, a lot of final, you see, final is love. It is about the final proof, the final demonstration, of life is then the final demonstration of spiritual power. Or you have always the highest, final, now the highest demonstration. He gave the highest proof of divine power, the highest instructor and friend of man. You have the highest earthly representative of God, or the highest post of power. Can you see always that superlative that comes out? We didn't have that in the other tones. We have to remember that therefore man is the highest demonstration, the crown of creation. Also always great, that tone of great comes in, saying that great, the great demonstrator of truth and love, not just the demonstrator of truth and love, the great exponent of God, his great goodness was shown. He was charged with the grandest trust from heaven. Do you hear that here we really come to a sort of climax, that love is shown as the highest, as the greatest, as the final demonstration of man? If we keep that in mind, then we can see the magnitude, really, of what man is. This whole subject is introduced in the text through the first small paragraph, which I think we could take also as an introduction, and not so much perhaps also as, or yet also as a tone of mind. And in this introduction, he introduces actually the whole subtone of truth. And it's a great point here. We finished yesterday the text with that tone of life, showing that life can overcome really everything, that life overcomes death, overcomes rocks, overcomes grave, that life cannot be repressed. And when that is achieved, then the tone of truth sets in and says, then you can see the true image of man, the true idea, man. I read this paragraph slowly because it has so much in it. It says, glory be to God. You hear the tone of love first, that one sees that behind everything that follows now is really the glory of God, and peace to the struggling hearts. Peace to the hearts, you get also a sense of love, your heart is at peace and at rest. The struggle seems to be over. We could see that up to that point, especially in the tone of principle and life, there was that constant holy struggle against the belief that life could be killed and could be repressed. Now the struggle is over, and we get quite a different picture. Christ has rolled away the stone from the door, not of the grave, as before, at the point of life. It was explained that the Christ rolled away the stone before the cave's mouth, but now the Christ rolls away something else, namely that which symbolizes this whole story, away the stone from the door of human hope and faith. And rolled it away, human hope and faith, you know, are much more the second degree qualities. In science we do not hope. Science is a must. Science is a fact. In science we do not hope, nor do we have faith. In science we have scientific understanding, not just faith, but those two wonderful qualities, Christian qualities, of having hope and faith are naturally very important for the way up to that understanding, scientific understanding. You know how Paul would say that he had hope against hope, the terrific sense that he would never lose hope. He expressed that, and he expressed that faith. But in science now, the stone is rolled away from hope and faith that said, will it be possible? Will we do it? Will we achieve it? Will we be successful? Does it work? That's still hope and faith, and that stone has been rolled away. And now what has happened? What is the new? And through the revelation and demonstration of life in God, that was the tone, life in God, that we had in the preceding tone of love as life, where we had that demonstration of life in God, which was irrepressible. And through that demonstration has elevated them. Who are them? Them refer back not to people, but to hope and faith. Hope and faith is now elevated, is now overformed through that experience of demonstrating life, and has elevated them to possible at one moment with the spiritual idea of man and his divine principle love. So at this point we get really a turning point. Hope and faith as wonderful, necessary Christian qualities, we have now something else coming in and says, at that point where you have demonstrated your life principle, you begin to realize that you do not need to hope and have faith, that there are facts of being at work, that you are not hoping and believing that you once will be the idea of God, that you once will be entering heaven. You are at that very point. It is possible to have that at one moment, no more the atonement, the at one moment, which is the finished state of atoning, with the spiritual idea of man. Can you see now she comes back to the term idea? Do you remember where we had idea? We had idea at the beginning of the sixth main subject. Here we are, love as truth, as the sixth main subtone in love. There we had it in the sixth main tone, where for the first time Mr. Sethi introduced the term idea and began to show really that we have to do with idea, and that is the aim, that it is idea. Then Mrs. Eddy dropped that term, until now she takes it up again, at the very same point of truth. This makes us think, or this should make us think, in scientific order, which would mean really that this second chapter teaches us something very wonderful. It teaches us that it is built on the first chapter, prayer. That first chapter, prayer, did not appeal to idea. The term idea never appeared there in the whole chapter. There in prayer, it was appealed to that best qualities, to the best spiritual qualities that we have in the human, like desire, like seeking God, like being able to reflect nice qualities like obedience and like love and affection and things like that. It appealed really that we can resist sin and resist temptation. It appealed to honesty, that we should be honest about our acts and words and deeds, that they all should be aligned to God. Can you see, constantly appealing to inner qualities that the human has, and building on those qualities. Then comes really Atonement and Eucharist and says, now the divine must overcome the human at every point. And so was presenting through the main tones how in mind really the mind comes and says, you have to overcome in the human your lethargy, go and do something. As spirit it came and said, you really have to overcome something in the human. Don't always look in the wrong direction, go and look into the direction of spirit. And in soul, that you have your resistance within yourself, your perseverance in yourself. Can you see, she appealed constantly at so-called divine qualities in the human, that are also in the human, but she could see that this is only the way to the point of idea. That in this way she slowly introduced and says, at the point of truth, you have to see the idea of God as the creator. And now here she dropped in the term idea again, and only now she brings it up again, just in a few times, and says, can you see that everything is pointing towards that thing, that you have to be at one mind with the idea man, and not with good qualities alone in the human. Actually, what is the reality, what are the identities of being, are only ideas. These are the things that we should notice in reading the textbook, because they give us a very practical line of life.